Today is the feast day, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. It is also the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, so the second oration, secret post-communion, and also the last gospel we pray is a special last gospel. It is taken from the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Today there will be the serving of juice and rolls and donuts downstairs after Mass. There's no breakfast. In fact, there will be no breakfast on July 6th at all. That weekend. And the thank you for all of the support that you've given to the buying of the breakfasts on the Sunday mornings. Remember, the proceeds do benefit St. Pius V School. And last year, over $7,000 was raised to help pay for the expenses at the school. So thank you very much for your support. And again, the big breakfasts will resume again in September. Also, this Friday is First Friday. Note, there will be no all-night adoration. However, there will be 6 p.m. confessions. There will be an 8 p.m. Mass here at the chapel. And on Saturday morning, for Saturday, there will be an 8 a.m. Mass followed by confessions. Also, Friday is July 4th. July 4th, many people are, of course, traveling. Many people are having their picnics. It is the birthday of our nation. And I've done some research and made some phone calls and been advised that we can consider ourselves dispensed from the abstinence on Friday. So on Friday we can celebrate the founding of our nation this July 4th. With our, instead of the shrimps on the barbie, we can have the hot dogs and the hamburgers. Also on July 2nd, there are ceremonies at St. Joseph's Novitiate. Of course, they are the ceremonies for the Daughters of Mary. And this year is a very special year for us here at St. Pius because we have a young lady who just graduated last year from school. She will be taking her habit, receiving the white veil. That is, Mary Vasquez will be taking the white veil, becoming a novice of the Daughters of Mary. And one of our graduates from a couple years ago, Sister Marie Labarre, will be professing her first vows. That is, she will be taking her black veil. She'll be professing vows for a year. And also another one of our graduates from St. Pius V School, Sister Maria Rosaria. She will be taking her perpetual vows as a daughter of Mary. So if you're able to attend the ceremonies, they are this July 2nd, this Wednesday. They begin at 10 a.m. in Round Top at St. Joseph's Novitiate. And if you are unable to attend, of course, I would continue to ask you to please pray for these young ladies as they continue in their service of Almighty God and to implore Almighty God for more servers in the vineyard of Christ. Also, the school yearbook is in need of sponsors. There is a form available in the vestibule, so if you're able to sponsor a quarter of a page or a page, there are forms in the vestibule. We do need to have those forms back by July 11th, so please do stop and pick one up after Mass today. The epistle appointed to be read for, oh, by the way, one last announcement. Today is July 29th, as you know, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. It is the anniversary, the 30th anniversary of Father Jenkins' ordination to the Holy Priesthood. So I'd ask you to please keep him in your prayers on this June 29th. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. In those days, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to afflict some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to take up Peter also. Now it was in the days of the Azymes. And when he had apprehended him, he cast him into prison, delivering him to four files of soldiers to be kept, intending after the Pasch to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for him. And when Herod, who would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shined in the room. And he, striking Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird thyself and put on thy sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And going out, he followed him. And he knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And passing through the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which of itself opened to them. And going out, they passed out through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter, coming to himself, said, Now I know in very deed that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel taken from St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. At that time, Jesus came into the quarters of a Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that the Son of Man is? But they said, Some, John the Baptist, and others, some, Elias, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. Jesus saith to him, But whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And to thee I will give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, it shall be bound also in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, it shall be loosed also in heaven. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Every Catholic, for the very simple reason and the sufficient reason that he is a Catholic, should cherish a very special devotion to St. Peter, for the very fact that he is the rock upon which Christ founded the church. We know of Christ founded one church, not many churches, as many people would claim, but there are many churches and all have the truth. Christ said to Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, our church, the one true Catholic church. And we should do well to dwell upon the characteristics of St. Peter and his life and the fruit that we should derive from imitating his saintly characteristics. It is signified that almost the only picture of character as such given in the sacred scriptures is given in the case of St. Peter. The sayings, the doings, the works are recorded about others, but they really do not reveal the man. They simply record his words or his works. But in the case of St. Peter, it is quite different. After reading a few passages about St. Peter in various parts of the scriptures, and then we read another place where there's no name mentioned, we can venture to say that it must have been St. Peter. In fact, the fathers of the church say this, or the exegetes, those who study sacred scripture. In fact, for instance, in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke, we read a certain disciple cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. It does not say which disciple. It says a certain disciple. And we presume and we can understand that it was probably St. Peter defending Christ. And sure enough, we read St. John. And in St. John, yes, the disciple was St. Peter. The characteristics of St. Peter of special note are his practical earnestness, his faith, and his love. His earnestness was such as to dispose him to receive the Catholic faith. And then his faith, along with that earnestness, naturally and supernaturally resulted in his great love of God. His practical earnestness is seen in everything we read about him, putting himself forward on every solemn occasion, seen in his refusal to let Christ stoop to wash his feet. And then, of course, his earnestness when our Lord said, If I do not wash your feet, you will have no part with me. And then his earnestness says, Well, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. We see it in him bringing our Lord aside and rebuking our Lord, and much as he was his disciple, and saying to him that he should not suffer. It was also seen as a good example in his reception of the truth that Christ said, I must suffer. You see, some people hold a truth at arm's length, and then they look at that truth with their intellect. They contemplate it, they see it, they wonder about it, and they do not accept it until it makes sense to them. Well, we have the example of St. Peter when he's first called by our Lord, the great example of St. Peter understanding the truth and accepting the truth for what it is. We know that our Lord asked St. Peter to launch out just a little bit from the shore, and our Lord sat in St. Peter's boat. And he taught the multitude, of course, from that boat. And then he said to Peter, now launch out into the deep, cast down thy nets, and take in a draught of fishes. And of course, St. Peter complained. He complained, and he said, Lord, we have worked all night, and we've taken nothing. But at thy word, I will let down the net. And what happened? He caught a great quantity of fish. So much so that his boat almost capsized. He had to call his partners, James and John, to fill their boat almost to the point of sinking. But what was St. Peter's reaction? It was not all of a sudden a reaction, well, I believe that thou art the Messiah. What St. Peter's reaction was, he very practically went to our Lord. He knelt down at his feet and he said to him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. St. Peter showed that he advanced in one single bound from faith, believing him to be the Messiah, to the deepest principle upon which all sanctity is to rest, and that is a personal humility, claiming himself before our Lord to be the sinner that he in fact was. It's a lesson for us in our meditations on the truths of faith, not to rest with a mere speculation about a truth, but to put it into a practical resolution. And the second characteristic of St. Peter, of course, is his faith. Peter, in circumstances where faith was difficult, made it supremely easy and completely rational, but putting it on the real foundation. When our Lord spoke to the thousands of people about the Blessed Sacrament, which we read in the Sacred Scriptures in the 6th chapter of St. John, our Lord told all the thousands of people that my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And at that, after 3 times, our Lord speaking to them about his flesh and his blood, and that you are to eat the flesh of man and drink his blood if you are to have life in you, thousands of people on that day turned their back on Christ and walked away, because they could not accept this truth. And our Lord let them walk away because it is the truth. Our Lord is here with us. So he turned to his little band of disciples and he said to them, wilt you also go away? And who was it that responded? It was St. Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then, as we read in the sacred scriptures today, our Lord asked them, whom do men say that I am? Some Elias, some Jeremiah, some the prophets, some John the Baptist. And our Lord again asked the little band of disciples, well, whom do you say that I am? And who speaks up? Who is it that speaks? And acting by anticipation as being the very head of the church, instinctively anticipating the office which Christ would appoint to him, and putting aside all vain opinions of the world, all human respect, acting from the revelations of God the Father himself, St. Peter declared in the words which read like a declaration of a council of the church, and he said before everyone there in the answer to Christ, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, as well as these, and St. Peter is the true doctor of the church, at that very moment, Simon ceased to be, and Peter began to live. For our Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, thou art Peter, says Christ. He changed his name to the rock upon which our Catholic faith is built. It is Peter whom we should ask to obtain a firmness in our faith, remembering with right ordered fear that faith may be weakened, faith may be lessened if it is not practiced, and it can even be lost. We should learn the lesson well from St. Peter to put aside the vain opinions of the world, to put away human respect, and to put into practice our faith at every juncture of our life. And the third characteristic of St. Peter is his great love. No one can fail to be struck by the ardent personal affection which he had for our Lord. It was an affection which was intense in its nature and its manifestation, an affection of the heart which expressed itself in season and out of season, wisely and sometimes maybe unwisely. But even at those times, it was given the strongest proof of the depth and its sincerity of his love. And there's no more striking example of the love that St. Peter had for our Lord than when our Lord declared that he was going to Jerusalem and that he was going to be scourged and spit upon and crucified by the Hebrew race. And St. Peter, as it says in the sacred scriptures, took him, that is, he took our Lord aside from the others, and he began to rebuke him and say to him, "Lord, far be it from thee that thou shouldst not, this should not be done unto thee." The other disciples also heard the very same announcement from our Lord as well. But on no heart of all of those did the idea of Christ's suffering strike with such a pang as on the loving heart of St. Peter. Surely such love must have been very grateful to the Sacred Heart. And though the Sacred Heart reproved St. Peter for his earthly notions, because he told him, "Yes, I must suffer for the sake of mankind," it gives to us a much more clear picture of the personal affection that our Lord had for him and that St. Peter had for our Lord. Well, the best proof of St. Peter's love is the words we read yesterday on the vigil of his feast. Three times when our Lord was shackled and carried before the high priest, three times the rock, St. Peter, Kephas, denied the one whom he loved. And then after our Lord's resurrection from the dead, before us our Lord's ascension into heaven, our Lord came to St. Peter and three times he asked him, repeated him the question three times, "Peter, son of John, lovest thou me?" And the first time Peter said, "Yea, Lord." And our Lord said, "Feed my sheep." "Peter, lovest thou me?" "Yea, Lord." "Feed my sheep." And a third time our Lord asks, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And at that time, St. Peter, opening his heart to all of those who are around, saying to Christ, "Lord, you know everything. You know my heart. You know that I love you." And our Lord said, "Feed my lambs." St. Peter had a strong love for Christ, and he repented by receiving grace and complying with that grace. St. Peter, a very strong natural virtue. But many times, merely natural virtue is a greater obstacle to our perfection than is a predominant fault, because there's a tendency to give birth to self-confidence when we have a strong natural virtue. And self-confidence is the very first symptom of a speedy fall from grace. The exercise of a natural virtue, a virtue which comes very easy to us, is in fact so pleasant that we are apt to rest upon the performance of this natural virtue without adverting to the necessity of raising it to the supernatural life. And we are exceedingly apt to make natural virtue a cloak to cover for the multitude of sins against the other virtues. But in following the repentant St. Peter, acknowledging that he was dependent upon himself and that's why he fell, he acknowledged that he must more rely upon God. I do love you. My dear faithful, the best honor which we can pay to St. Peter is to imitate those things in him that made his sanctity. St. Peter is a saint, not simply because he was raised to the highest dignity on the earth, not simply because he was a vicar of Christ, the first pope of the Catholic Church. He is raised to the height of sanctity because he believed, in the truths revealed to him by Almighty God, and because he put into practice these truths, and because he loved his Lord and his God above everything else. So too must we do to attain our own salvation and sanctification. But as we do this, as we practice and follow his imitation, pray to St. Peter. Pray incessantly, as the church prayed, as we read in the gospel today. They prayed without ceasing for St. Peter, who was imprisoned by Herod. Pray for his assistance and the assistance of God himself in attaining true and lasting sanctity for ourselves, but also to restore the hierarchy of our Catholic Church. Pray so that from the greatest monument that has ever been erected in the honor of one of God's martyrs, that is the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome, the beautiful basilica in his honor, pray that may once more come forth strength and power and truth, the truths of the Catholic faith. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.